welcome back, everybody. It's time again for another episode of Health Talks with Dr. Trin. The one show, maybe the only show, that shows you the path to a healthier life. One coach at a time. From the man who's been coaching many for many years, our health expert, our health guru, our health advocate, Dr. Trin.
I'm not sure if I coach anyone. I can't even coach myself.
Well, then you need that. You recognize that, and you know you need a health coach. Do we know any health coaches?
Yeah. What a good intro here. And we're all here to learn, actually. So my good friend, Nurse Belinda, is with us today. And we're going to learn all about what a health coach is. When do you need one? Why do you need one? I mean, is it like my personal trainer, right? I see my personal trainer more than once a week, actually. I see him 2-3 times a week sometimes. Is this like the new personal training in healthcare? Yeah. I don't know. I'm here to learn. I am here to learn.
So welcome, Nurse Belinda. Is it Oberle?
Oberle.
Oberle. Okay. You told me and I forgot. Oberle. It looks like
Thank
Oberle.
You.
Well, welcome. I know one of the secrets to being successful in health is to live in a healthy environment. And you live apparently in the back of a grotto with waterfalls and ferns. And you're just looking out your back window at this spectacular place. Or either that or you're tricking us with a fake background here. Which is it?
Isn't that great? It's a fake background. It's actually the picture that's on my website. And it's interesting that you said that, Paul, because part of what health coaches do is to really look at our environment and how our environment does affect how we experience.
So you're not just a nutrition coach. You're not just saying go out and run 5 more laps. You're not just saying don't eat that bad food. Give us your background and tell us how you got into being a health coach, and then we'll talk about what the heck does a health coach do. So talk about you first.
Great. Well, I've been a registered nurse for many years, and I've really seen the effects of the standard American diet and stress and lifestyle and how that has created many chronic diseases. And so I became a health coach to support people at taking back their power for their own health and well-being.
So we have the ability to control our own health. I think it's all around me. COVID's around me. Smog is around me. There's pesticides in my food. There's et cetera, et cetera. So many things feel like out of my control.
Yes, and that's a very good point, Paul. And I think that that's sort of the, if you will, illusion that sometimes we live in is I have no control. Mm. And the truth of the matter is we do.
Okay.
Because I get to decide what I'm going to allow to put into my body or, I mean, what really anything. It's really all about what am I going to choose to do to have the quality of life that I would like to have. There are things that are out of our control, but that's part of what this, one of the things that health coaches do is to help people to be mindful. So to recognize what do I have control over and to focus on those things that I have control over.
Is this like the serenity prayer, Dr. Trin? God, let me take control of however it goes. Let me change the things I can change and not worry about the things I can't change here.
So Belinda, after years of nursing, why did you decide to go in this direction?
Because I really would like to be part of kind of a paradigm shift in medicine. And I really felt that this was a wonderful vehicle for me to impact people's lives on a very deep level. And I, you know, physicians, I mean, you know this, Dr. Trin, you know, medicine is, we're busy treating people who have chronic diseases. And we don't have time to talk about more prevention or things that we can do to help improve or decrease or change the symptoms of maybe even correct. I don't want to say correct, but I mean, diabetes is a good example. Diabetes is very much related to diet. And so, you know, we've seen people that are able through diet to decrease their need for insulin if they're on insulin, or just by losing weight and recognizing what am I eating and that kind of thing, they can potentially reverse their diabetes. I'm not saying that's true for every diabetic, but the science does support that. So
we all know we should eat healthier. We hear it day right. in and day out. And yet, when that Twinkie calls my name, I can't yep. seem to resist. What is it about us? Are we like little kids? We just need somebody to hold us accountable, to remind us, to pick us up when we fall?
Well, I think that it's multi-layered, really, Paul. I think the beautiful thing about a health coach is we look at what is that that has you want to eat that Twinkie. So we do a little bit deeper dive. Right. Deeper dive. Yeah, thank you. And we are inundated with information.
Absolutely.
And so this is not about giving health coaches don't give people information. They provide accountability and they provide a structure that allows people to reach their goals.
So walk me through. If I hired you tomorrow, what would you do for me? What's the first step?
Yeah, let's say Paul is the diabetic in front of you. Right?
Not thank and goodness, but yeah, right.
Right. And Paul wants to know what you can do for him as a health coach. I mean, what does it look like?
So a health history, a little bit different from what a medical doctor does. It's not as in depth. And most health coaches do this. And I want to back up just a second because I want to talk about some distinctions about health coaching because it is becoming a much more emerging profession. And I believe some of that's really out of necessity of what's happening in our country. And so there's the name health coach that might be somebody that works in a gym. Okay. So they might be called a health coach because they're specifically working on training. Then there are health coaches that have gone to some type of a formalized school and they get a certificate when they're done, program anywhere from maybe 6 months to a year to a little over that. And then there is if you have gone through a program and you have a certain number of hours, mm-hmm. you can actually become board certified as a health coach.
Wow. There's a board for the health coach.
There is. And so I think it's important to just make that distinction because in my experience, the health coaches who have been through a little bit more of a formalized program, and again, it depends on the school and all of that, but I was trained to use a holistic approach. So, Paul, I'm not just going to look at your diabetes. I'm not going to just say you're a diabetic. What I'm going to do is I'm going to have you fill out a health history. I'm going to go over that health history with you maybe during the first session. I'm going to ask you, what would you like to do differently in your life?
So you're going to try and get me, enlist me in the program rather than just scold me and say, don't do that. Don't eat that Twinkie. You're diabetic.
Do you think that works if you're being scolded?
No.
No. And so that's the beauty about a health coach. I'm not here to scold anybody. I'm really here to come alongside you at helping you to achieve what it is that you say you want to achieve.
So what's the next step? We figure out a goal. You enlist me in the program. You really want to do this. Yeah, I'm paying you. I really want to change now. I'm tired of being a diabetic. I want to see if I can improve my health. Maybe some scare has come into my life. Maybe there's some priority in my life. Gee, I'm getting old, or I got a grandson or something that motivates you now. Now what?
Yes.
Now what? I've reached out to help and you've start to create a program. What do you put a regimen in place? Is it like a regular physical coach? Do we meet once a week and go through it?
It's usually twice a month. Mm-hmm. And the sessions are like 50 minutes. And we're going to look at every aspect of your life. So part of the holistic approach is looking at your relationships, your social sphere, you know, how is that going? And I might have you keep a diary of what you're eating for maybe a couple of weeks. It's a very tailored approach because everybody's unique. And it's not a cookie cutter approach. It's not like here, do this diet. Or that sort of thing. So one of the things that we would look at is what are you eating now? And then begin to incorporate. Maybe you're not eating enough green leafy vegetables. So we would incorporate that. So that might be for a week or two that you would do that. And then we would talk about how are you feeling? What's happening with your blood sugars? And And so it's a very tailored approach. And then maybe we would look at what's your physical exercise? How are you doing? What are your stumbling blocks? So a lot of this really is, it's a dialogue. It really is a conversation of what do you want, and me being able to facilitate you being able to see what stops you from what you say you want.
What about and all the psychological stuff? I'm in an unhealthy relationship. I'm at an unhealthy work environment. I'm mad at the world because I'm on social media all day. All of those add to my psychological stress, which then turns into my need to eat sugar to feel better, etc.
Yes, yes. So we would talk about what coping mechanisms do you have besides eating that might help your stress? Mm-hmm. And so I would incorporate some of those things. It might be meditation. It might be something that you feel would help you. Maybe it's going for more frequent walks, or maybe it's walking at all, or, you know, in the first place, it might be drinking more water. So it really is looking at, okay, so, and I would might even say, so what is it about the job that you feel causes you the most stress?
I have to get up every Thursday at 8 a.m. and get beat up by Dr. Trin because I'm not leading a healthy enough life. That's really it. It comes down to him here.
So it looks like you initially do a detailed assessment for your client, right? And that assessment goes beyond what a doctor does. A doctor just, you know, we look at your labs and we tell you, okay, go on a diabetic diet, whatever that means to you, right? Because our next patient is waiting already. We're not going to sit down and go over a diabetic diet. And then we're like, here's your prescription for metformin and glipizide, and see me back in 3 months. And then that's it. The doctor is done. And what happens between now and that 3 months? Because it's easy for somebody, myself, to say, go on a low cholesterol diet, go on your heart healthy diet, go on your diabetic diet. And that sentence took me 3 seconds, and I have no clue what the patient is doing over the next 3 months. And I don't have a clue if they even understood what a diabetic diet means, or a heart healthy diet means, or a Mediterranean diet, right? Yep. It's just an assumption. And so there's this huge gap in 3 months where the patient comes back in 3 months, and I'm like, nothing's improved. Let me increase your meds, right? Let me increase your dose. And then the reason nothing's improved is that patient wasn't empowered to know what that three-word sentence mean. And I never, as a physician, dug into the reasons of why you're a diabetic.
Yes.
Right? And so I think a health coach digs into deeply what a doctor does not. I'm not going to sit down and figure out you're a diabetic because you have stress at home and the way you deal with stress is ice cream, right? I don't dig into that because, again, most docs have 15 to 20 minutes with their patients. And so the best we're going to tell you is go on a diabetic diet and here's a prescription, right? So I think, Belinda, the value what you provide is you actually are part of the healthcare team.
Yes.
In that gap, in that 3 month gap, that 6 month gap between a doctor's visit. Because us physicians, we don't have the bandwidth to do that deep dive to make the changes that are needed, right? To make the changes that are required. Because if it's really easy to say, be on a diabetic diet and avoid sugar, right? Because I just said that in 5 seconds. If I can say that in 5 seconds, why is it that 2 out of 3 Americans are diabetic or pre-diabetic? Right? Because it doesn't work. I can't just say that and expect it to happen. And I think maybe for life changes to happen, right? For life changes to happen, maybe we need, as patients, both support and accountability.
That's a key. That's
right? Support and accountability. Because I provide no support as a physician. I'm just seeing you in 3 months. I provide no accountability of what you're doing in the next 3 months. And we don't change behavior unless there's support and accountability. So this is where perhaps, you know, a health coach comes in to provide that support that accountability, that discussion with the patient every 2 weeks, right? Twice a month and things of that sort. Yes. And I'm filling that gap, right?
Yes, and I'd like to add to that, it also takes commitment.
That's the other one, you know? I was going to get to. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, you know, it is support, it is accountability, but before that, it's commitment. So a person really has to want to make the changes. Mm-hmm. You know, that saying, which is, until you get sick and tired of being sick and tired, you're not going to do anything about it. And so I think there is that, just really recognizing that I don't want to live my life in this fashion, whatever that is, whether it's just too much stress, whether it is actually a chronic illness, diabetes, heart disease. So there's that as well. And
can I give you a little story that sort of illustrates this? Somebody told me this a while ago, and I thought this is so cute, but so true. So a man is a door-to-door salesman. He goes door-to-door, tries to sell his goods. One day, this is down south, he walks up and there's a guy sitting on a porch with his dog, old hound dog. And the hound dog is crying, not loudly, but just kind of crying, kind of moaning. He looks at me and says, "What's wrong with your dog?" He says, "Oh, he's sitting on a nail." "He's sitting on a nail. Why doesn't he get up and move?" "That must not hurt bad enough to move yet. You know, we're all sitting on a nail. We know it hurts, but is it really worth the effort to get up and move, to make a change?" For many of us, not. I always wonder why, as human beings, the minute you feel pain, you should want to get rid of it. But we sort of get accustomed to it, don't we?
Yeah. So, Paul, what would it take for you to
get off the nail?
Some changes? Yeah, to get off the nail. I like that.
That is a really, really good question, because I have the desire to change. I want to change. But yet, at the end of the day, I come up with 100 excuses. I'm busy. It's expensive. I'm tired. I'll do it tomorrow. I don't know why we are trapped in that. It's usually then some crisis comes and then you got to change. The motivator comes from without and not from within. Not always, but usually there's something. You have a heart attack. Somebody dies that you know. Something shakes you up and you say, enough, I've got to change. And up until that point, we're sitting on a rusty nail crying about it.
Well, let me ask you this question. If you did make some changes, you made a commitment, what difference would that make in your life?
Oh, it's good to look at. What would it look like if you didn't eat the Twinkie? What if you did? Well, let's go back to the simplest one in the world, losing weight. Is there any American out there that doesn't think they couldn't lose a couple of pounds, particularly as you get older, belly fat and whatnot? And yet I get to do sit-ups. I don't like doing sit-ups. That's a pain. That's a problem. So I try and find other answers. I think that I see, and I'm fortunate that I haven't gotten obese, but many people do. They just let it build up and build up and build up. And then you're sort of caught in a spiral because you can't sort of, all you're dealing with is the pain and the problems here now. Losing weight is a classic example. Everybody has a commitment and a desire. Few of us carry through to do it. And when we do, I'm always amazed that somebody makes a commitment. Maybe it's paying somebody some money. Because now, oh my God, I didn't want to talk to my health coach, but she's going to ask me all these questions and I'm paying for this. Maybe I better do this. Well, do you charge a lot? Is this expensive? Or is this something anybody can afford?
So the health coach, there's a wide variety of what's being charged. I don't usually talk about this, you know.
Well, just because I think that's an obstacle. I can't afford it.
You, for right now, while I'm actually starting out, I charge $100 a month. So
$100 a month? Okay.
Right now, because I'm finishing up my health coach program. That is a reduced rate. And what really works is for people to commit to, if at all possible, a 6-month program. Because we know that it, on average, it takes 66 days to change a habit.
Yes. Yeah.
And so the first 3 months is really reestablishing better habits. You know, better choices, that sort of thing. And the next 3 months is just really like riding the bicycle and getting really used to. Because again, health coaches are about having people have sustainable changes in their life that are going to last.
Yeah.
It's not a quick fix. It's not a, oh, just do it for now, you know, lose the weight. And then we have to look at what got you in the place that you're in the first place. Like Dr. Tran said, what is it, you know, how did you get diabetes? And so there is that perspective as well. And So I want to ask another question, Paul, which is, what would your life look like if you did make some changes?
There is a fantasy view of it. Yes, wouldn't life be wonderful and everything would be rosy? But maybe I don't know. Maybe I've never lost the weight. Maybe I've never really lived a healthy life. I went to a therapist once a long time ago, and they were pointing out some things I did. And because I guess I'm always kind of on guard. That was the way I was brought prepared. What's going to go wrong and everything? And they said, what would your life look like if you just let go of that anxiety? And I thought, I really don't know, because I've had it my whole life.
Yeah. And I hear that. And I think that's something that actually health coach can help uncover, because sometimes what happens is we get stuck. It's like we just kind of get in almost like a straight jacket, and we don't know how to loosen it and allow ourselves to really look at. So we have to bring some intentionality to it. We have to bring some mindfulness to it, really awareness of, and we have to also be willing to kind of dream a little bit, like, what would my life look like if I didn't have this weight? Or what would my life look like if I had more energy, you know, more vitality? You know, what could I do? What would I be able to do? And you mentioned it earlier. You said something about grandchildren. Do you have grandchildren?
I do. I have two of them. Yeah. And I think about my health, because now suddenly more than ever, I want to hang around and see them grow up. And two, when you have grandkids, I'm in my mid-60s here. Oh my goodness. I'm exhausted when they leave, because they just go. And pull on me and tug on me, and I have to go. And so all of a sudden you go, wow, I don't have enough go left in the gas tank here. It would help to have a little more get up and go.
Yeah, your get up and go. What is that saying? Your get up and go, got up and went, or something like that?
I don't know.
Well, it sounds like you're identifying, a health coach helps you to identify the triggers that lead to that behavior that leads to your bad health consequences. And then they help you to identify the next step to change that trigger, right? Yes. Because that's how behavioral changes starts. Looking for the trigger, looking for that thing that leads to that behavior that has bad health consequences, and then how to replace that with something different.
And I think there's an addition to commitment. Part of the way you measure commitment is, what are you willing to invest? And it's not just money, it's time or maybe effort. How much am I willing to do to get off of that rusty nail? How bad does it hurt? And until it hurts really bad, or until I can see that life, I don't have to go through life moaning, sitting on a rusty nail. Talk about that, because you have to, maybe that's a Western view, but for change to happen, I got to invest. If I really want to make more money, I got to work harder, or I got to change my job, or I got to find some other side gig or do all of that. And then people look at you and go, well, I'd like to do that, but I don't know if I can do that. Well, until you're really willing to invest time or money, whichever you value the most, that's really a measure of your commitment. And I'm always marveled at people who, for example, get up at a gym and decide, I'm going to get up. Dr. Trin probably does it, gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I say to myself, I can't do that. I've never done that. So I don't do that.
And you know why I get up at 5 a.m?
No.
Because I pay for my health trainer. And so he's waiting for me. If I don't show up, I'll be in trouble.
Exactly.
That's the accountability part.
Exactly.
Right? And it's
it's a paying part. Yeah. You know, I paid him to wait for me at his garage. And so I'm going to be there. It's paid for. The expectations there. He's supporting me in my own health, right? To improve my health. And he's keeping me accountable. So it's that support and accountability that comes back to the changes I need. So to me, it's like, whether it's paying for a personal trainer or paying for a health coach, right? My mindset is this: when it comes to my health, I either pay now or I pay later.
Now, so let me ask you another rough question here, Dr. Trin. We'll just touch on this, because I know this is a rabbit hole and there's no answer to it. But in our pay per service model of medicine, you get sick, come see me. You're not sick, I don't get reimbursed from Medicare just to talk to you or to give you advice. I give you a service and I get reimbursed from the medical care system. If that was different, I don't feel like I have to pay for it. Somehow it's taken out of my checking account, or I just pay a generic fee or whatever. but I don't have the illusion. If I somehow thought I could see the doctor more often and it wasn't costing me more to do that, it is, because we're all paying, somebody's paying for it. But if I had that service, even if you were at the top of the chain and you said, go see Nurse Belinda, go see Joe the trainer, go see Paul the psychologist here, because there's a bigger issue you got to go on. We don't expect our doctors to take care of us, only to fix us. Could that make a major difference if there really was? You say there's a healthcare team. I don't have a healthcare team. I don't even have a doctor. I just go to a clinic and whoever's up, I show them the problem, the boo-boo, and they fix it here. There isn't anybody looking out for me. And they might, every 6 months when I go to get a checkup or once a year, they say, wow, Paul, that cholesterol is still pretty high. Here, take this pill. Come and see us in 6 months here. I don't feel, this is a different changed world. My parents talked to their doctor like they were their priest or their psychologist. They shared everything. I share nothing because he's only got 2 minutes with me, 5 minutes with me.
That's the problem. They only have 2 or 5 minutes with you. That is the problem. And physicians are not trained necessarily to, the emphasis in our training is not on wellness and prevention. The emphasis in medical school is what? The emphasis is, what is the diagnosis and what script am I going to write?
Yeah.
Right? What prescription I'm going to write and what's your diagnosis? And yes, I will tell you to lose weight. It's a 5-second sentence that has nothing else behind it to back it up, to show you support or to help you accountable. Yes, I can tell you to be on a diabetic diet. And yet 2 out of 3 Americans are diabetics or pre-diabetics. 2 out of 3 Americans are overweight, right? Or obese. Because our words is a 5-sentence recommendation that has nothing backing it. There's no accountability. There's no support. And all I'm saying is come back and see me in 3 months. Come back and see me in 6 months. And then there's nothing in between for that patient, right? There's nothing in between. And this is where a health coach is part of the team somehow, where they can help guide you to make those decisions that are needed to be on that diabetic diet, right?
One thing in support of medicine. I'm amazed you work with Memorial Care. We had the president. Memorial Care, like many other groups, or even Kaiser's or whatever, they're really into prevention more these days because they see the cost benefit. If you aren't obese, I'm not going to have to treat you for heart attacks and diabetes and all these other ongoing things. The cost of service will go down. We can contain our costs. And yet on a macro level, they do that. And so now they're promoting telehealth, or maybe they send a nurse, Belinda, out to see me once a year to do an evaluation. I just went through this with Blue Shield or whatever. I was amazed. Somebody came out for free and like a nurse, and she said, kind of like a health coach, well, let's go through some questionnaires. Have you thought about this? She got me drinking water every morning here, so I'm trying to do this. Simple little stuff like that. And I think, why can't the system do it? Otherwise, then I got to do 2 things. I got to pay for it, and I got to find Nurse Belinda. I didn't even know there was a Nurse Belinda. So I've got to go through an effort to find them. I've got another expense to pay. I'm wondering if the answer lies not just in more Nurse Belindas, but a different way to build a team, to a different way to pay and promote this. What do you think?
Well, Paul, I think that's beginning to happen. I think there is a shift in, like Dr. Trent said, where doctors are recognizing that what we've done isn't working and we got to figure something else out. And I think the statistics right now are doctors spend like 3% of their time talking to patients about nutrition. So it is definitely, it's a missing, and it's really multifaceted, because I want to back this up, and this is not to point the finger at any one.
No, just the way it
industry is. Or anything. It's just, our food industry has not supported us either in eating healthy. Boy, when you look at all of the processed food that has been generated and all of that, you know, all of the commercials that you see that feed our mind with this, oh, wow, look,
Twinkies.
I can have a super size.
Eat Twinkies, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And so we have to be really, this kind of goes back to what you said earlier, Paul, which is what's going to kind of motivate me to make some changes. And it really is taking a look at what am I telling myself also. Yeah. So you have to look at where my thoughts are about this. And it is really, truly, what would be my why? Why would I want to?
Yeah.
Because if the why is big enough, mm-hmm. it doesn't matter what, I mean, I don't want to say it doesn't matter. The cost of it is secondary to the value that I will experience in my life if I can have more vitality, more energy to really be with my grandchildren, to see my grandchildren walk down the aisle to get married.
Oh boy, yeah, that's a big one.
Right? That's your why. When your why is big enough, the cost shrinks relatively.
Yes. It does.
Yes.
If you told me I had 1 week left to live, as horrible as that would sound, and you said, but for $10,000, I'll give you another week, I'll find the $10,000.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. And that's really, some of that's just kind of human nature. You know what I'm saying? We're just wired in a kind of interesting way. But I think that we have to take back our power and be responsible for our own health and well-being. It's not the food industry's responsibility. It's not the doctor's responsibility. It's our responsibility. And with that being said, I believe if we started that with ourselves, we would see a trickle, almost like a ripple effect, that would start to change the food industry. If we stopped buying their food, they would come up, they'd get real creative.
They're not fooled.
About how to make money without eating your food.
You hit something there that's a bigger societal problem, and we're not going to solve it this morning. But Dr. Trinh touched on it on his last show, and that is you can be the spark for change in the world. Maybe it's a little thing. Maybe you can't save them all, but you can save this little piece of the puzzle here. You can, and too often today, left and right, we live in a victim world. It's their fault. I can't do anything. It's their fault. It's somebody's fault. It's Wall Street. It's the world. It's immigrants. It's somebody. There's a whole world to blame but me.
So Belinda, let me get back here. I'm the patient. I'm a potential client. In 30 seconds, tell me what you do. What can you do for me as a health coach?
What kind of results? What are you going to accomplish in 6 months?
Yeah, what are you going to accomplish for me?
So I will come alongside you mm-hmm. and help you to achieve the goals that you want to achieve. And we will do that through accountability. We will do that through different means, if you will, just taking a look at what you're currently doing and then what changes would be that you could make that would help you. I don't think I answered that question very well. So
no, we got to come up with a better elevator pitch for you here. All right, let me give you another attempt at it here. If you could, I'm going to help you change your life. I'm not going to change your life for you. You got to want to do that. But if you want to change your life, I'll help you do that. I'll show you how to do that. And part of it isn't just, okay, it's time to see Nurse Belinda. Uh-oh, I haven't done any of these things. I'm embarrassed, but I'm paying for her, so I guess I got to go. And then she's going to say, I'm going to say, yeah, I really want to do well. It's like a tent revival. I'm going to go down and I want to find religion. And for that weekend, I'm there. But the minute I go out, that alcohol's calling me, boy, that demon rum is ready to take hold of me again here. Whatever it is, I think you're there to be a guide, to show me the way, to help me climb the mountain. And so part of it's holding up my hand. Part of it is pulling me. Part of it's pushing me. And part of it is showing me. Are there tips that you have this morning? Like this silly nurse that came out to see me from Blue Shield says, you should drink more water. Yeah, I should. And she said, this is going to get a little rough here. She says, but sometimes do you have trouble going to the bathroom in the morning? I said, yeah, of course, I'm straining and pushing because I'm in a big rush, you know, and everything. She says, why don't you just drink a glass of water every morning and get your system sort of lubricated and going? And when nobody had ever explained it to me, like they said, drink more water. Yes, I will. Drink more water. Yes, I will. And I never did. And she said, just make it a habit in the morning. First thing you do before you eat, before you do anything, get up and see. And by God, it seems to be working.
It works. It works. By the way, I want to say a shout out to those who are on Facebook watching us here. Dan Daly, Charles, Arlene, Marissa, Wendy. Hi, Cindy Chen at Acacia. Mimi's on here. There's a whole bunch of folks on here.
And let's ask them the question. Would they pay for a health coach or have any of them pay for a health coach?
Or do they know what a health coach is? You got to know what a health coach is. And the value, what is the value of that health coach? Before you swipe the credit card, you got to see the value.
Yes.
Right? Exactly. And that value needs to be higher than
the cost.
Than whatever that price and cost is, right? And so...
Because if there's no value, you could charge me a dollar and I still wouldn't give it to you. or if there was enough value, I'd pay you $1 million or whatever I can afford. I'd change my priorities. I'd stop going to Starbucks and put that money into you or whatever. I think that's it. They've got to see the value. And so
the two things to emphasize that I see from my perspective as a doc who sees this big gap, right? This big gap in between what I tell my patient and what they do in the next 3 months and when they, before they come back, right? And so if I was the health coach, right, what is missing in this big gap in my patient? What's missing is obviously the two things we talked about, accountability and support. And so if you were my client, right, or my patient, what I would like to do is I would like to do an assessment of where you are with your health, right? Your health situation, where you are with your health, and where you want to be in 6 months. We have a 6-month target.
Right.
Right. This target isn't a year. This target isn't 5 years. This target isn't 10 years. Where do you want to be in 6 months? And what I want to do is I want to create with you collaboratively as a team, a roadmap to get there in 6 months, a blueprint that we both agree on, right? Something that's like, stamp, this is the roadmap in 6 months. This is the blueprint to get you from where you are now with your health, whether it's weight loss, your hemoglobin A1C needs to go lower, your diabetes, your heart disease need to improve. You want to walk more. You want to do your 10,000 steps within 6 months. And right now you're at 1,000 steps a day, right? Let's create this roadmap together. And I'm going to help you be accountable to that roadmap, right? I'm your coach. I'm your mentor. And I'm your pom-pom girl, right?
Yeah.
I'm your cheerleader. And so the way I'm going to help you accountable is we're going to check in every 2 weeks and we're going to have a checklist of activities that we're going to agree together to make this work to your roadmap. So maybe this checklist of activities starts with you're going to drink 8 ounces of water a day because the doctor says drink more water. I'm like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Nothing happens. Nobody drinks more water, right? So what if we created a checklist of activities that as soon as you drink that cup of water, you're going to check off that list. I drank my water. As soon as you walk 2,000 steps, you're going to check off that list, right? And this is how changes occur. You need a structure to change, right? And I'm your coach. So when we meet in 2 weeks, we're going to review your checklist. How much of that were you successful in doing? And I'm not here to yell at you if you didn't check off your list and you didn't improve. Right. But what I'll do is, you know, we'll look at your list. What did you do successfully? What didn't you check off successfully? And why wasn't that checked off successfully? What is the stumbling block, right? Yes. What hindered you and how can we help? It's a roadmap that's being built with a client. And so they know their results in 6 months. They know there's going to be a roadmap and a blueprint that's outlined. And then there's accountability every 2 weeks.
And I'm going to throw one more in here because I'm an American and I'm lazy and I want everything quick and now. Can Nurse Belinda give me some shortcuts? There's a way up to the mountain and I know it's really hard. She knows another path that's a little easier, a little quicker. So if she can show me some shortcuts, some tips, or reframe it in a way...
Like they tips.
Yeah, then suddenly she found a place and a space for me to build a habit of water that I hadn't thought about first thing in the morning. And she gave me sort of another way to frame it. Maybe you'll go to the bathroom easier and your system will get going. Okay, so I saw a place I could do it that I hadn't thought of, a path I hadn't considered. I'm thinking throughout the day, I got a lug bottle of water with me and I set it down and then I realized I haven't even looked at it in 4 hours. Oh God, I got to go drink some here. And that just seemed like a burden all the time, carrying it, thinking about it. Instead, this is before I even start my day, chug some water. It's quick, it's fast. So maybe she's got some paths and some other ideas. What do you think, Nurse Belinda?
Yeah, I think that's great. And I would, along that, what you were talking about earlier, Paul, is I would have a piece of fruit with you. And if you want to have the Twinkie with you, great. But I would suggest, again, it isn't about depriving yourself. It's really about replacing.
Yes.
So
I like
I'm going to replace that Twinkie with an apple.
Yes.
And maybe I'll do that just for a couple of days. It's part of what coaching does is it allows the client to experience their own journey and to see what it really is. It's a it's a self-discovery of, huh, how does my body feel now that, you know, now since I did that, or, huh, I didn't have two Twinkies 2 days in a row, and gosh, I feel like I have a little more energy.
Or I didn't miss it. I think you hit it. There's a trick right there. My wife years ago became a vegetarian, so I'm not a vegetarian, but my cook is. So it's kind of like the same thing. You know, most of what occasionally she makes some stuff for me that I insist on, a chicken, or I don't eat steak anymore. I gave up that thing. But there are ways to replace the bad stuff that I thought I couldn't live without. I'll give you two silly examples. So years ago, and I don't think I'm alone in this, I stopped drinking whole milk because I was brought up on whole milk. I loved whole milk. I would drink gallons of whole milk. And so then I went to skim milk, and that didn't taste as good. And somewhere along the way, we went to almond milk or soy milk or whatever we're drinking these days. And at some point, I replaced it, and then I went back. I actually like the flavor of it now. So I don't feel like I'm giving up something. I've just replaced it. I've reframed it. And the same thing years ago, because I was an ice cream addict, so I would go eat ice cream every night, you know, fattening butter fat, and that's why it was so good. I had to have some ice cream every night. And she said, well, let's try something else. Let's just try sorbet. It's just pureed fruit juice with a little bit of sugar. Still maybe not the greatest thing, but it's because it's got sugar in it, but at least it's not fat and butter fat and everything in here that you like. And now I go to a restaurant, I don't want ice cream. I want some sorbet. So yes. I've learned to make little baby steps and improve my diet, replacing rather than resisting.
Yes, yes. It really is how we're going to think about what we're doing. You know, we have a lot of misconceived ideas about ourselves and about diet and all that kind of thing. So it really is looking at what does your body need and how does it respond to different things. There are some people who do fine with gluten. There are some people who do not. And so it's really experimenting with that, or dairy, or whatever it is. So it really is very individualized. And I love what both of you said. And thank you, because you're helping me to hone in on. I mean, I'm passionate about this. I just really am. And you helped me to say, okay, so here's what I do. I'm a guide for people, and I give them a roadmap of how to accomplish their goals.
And I'm going to keep you on the road, and I'm going to show you some shortcuts.
I like that. It's a
roadmap to behavioral changes, right? Because health changes starts with behavioral changes. First, it starts with the mindset of, yes, I need to change my health. But that never works, because if you think of all the people who start January 1st with the mindset of, I'm going to lose weight.
Absolutely.
I'm going to, you know, all these January New Year's resolutions, they die by the end of January.
Right.
So mindset isn't enough. It's mindset with action, with behavioral changes. The problem is, if we're not accountable to our own behavioral changes, that behavior ain't going to change.
Right.
We need accountability. And that's where a health coach comes in. A health coach helps with that accountability, and they give you tools and tips that you may not have to make that change more efficient.
And the shortcut, like replacement, for example. So you can tell me not to do something, but if I really want to do it, it's hard to stop. Maybe it's built into me from my culture, from my childhood, or my body's crying out because I'm unhappy, so I want sugar or something, or whatever it is, there's a trigger, as we've talked about earlier on. It's not just identifying the trigger and saying, stop that. That can help. Why do you smoke? Why do you do this? Why do you, you know, it's no good for you. Why do you keep doing this stuff? I don't know, doc. I can't figure it out. I don't know what, Nurse Betty. But if you can trick me into replacing it, like they do with cigarettes, you know, put a lollipop, the old Kojak 100 million years ago TV show, he sucked on a lollipop instead of a cigarette. And that was how he helped break his, I thought that was brilliant. You know, to find a substitute for that bad behavior so that you don't feel like you're giving up. You're just exchanging one thing for another. I think that's a really, all of these are great ideas, and we need somebody to show us and guide us and give us a shortcut and help our, hold out our hand and pull us along sometimes and push us other times. We all need that. Why are you so hard to find? Nobody comes to my door. I don't get flyers for health coaches. My friends don't have health coaches. Why is this not everybody? Everybody's got a trainer these days. I know a million people with trainers. I don't know one person with a health coach.
Well, I think, again, it's really emerging into, it's been around. My school started almost 30 years ago. And so the idea of health coaching has been around, but I would say within the last 10 years, it's becoming more of an entity. And certainly within the last maybe 3 to 4 years, it's definitely emerging into a profession that is needed. And I think you're going to hear more about health coaching. So you had the cutting edge profession on your show, Paula. You're starting the, you
I'm
know,
starting the ball rolling right now here.
You did. Good job. That's perfect. And so I just want to say, you know, just for people that are tuned in, just to really think about this next week, what is one thing that you could do to bring more awareness to your own health, whether that's, gosh, I do need to drink more water, or gosh, I do need to go for more walks, or I need to eat green leafy vegetables. You know, just that awareness is what shifts us into action.
And then think about why aren't you doing it? Okay, I've always wanted to lose weight. I've always wanted to drink water. Is there a trick? Do I hate water? Is there something about, I just don't think I have the time? What is the trick? What's the blockage that's keeping you doing that desire?
Yeah, that's the problem. Awareness isn't enough. Information isn't enough. Information's free, right? You can Google anything. You can look at any YouTube video and information on weight loss and diabetes and cancer prevention. But information doesn't cause change. Obviously, because we're a country where 2/3 of us are diabetic, pre-diabetic, obese, and we have cancer. Information does not cause behavioral change, obviously, because we're all informed. So what is the next step to behavioral change?
Well, but it starts with awareness. Awareness doesn't change. It starts with awareness, okay? And that's why I think I said this earlier. Health coaches are not about information. They're about transformation. Because the transformation is what has people have long-lasting changes in their life. And so it is the awareness, and then it is taking the steps to whatever.
I'm going to compare it to something that's a little strange, and it's not a program I've been through, but my uncle went through it. I've had friends who've gone through it, and we even have a show host who's gone through it, which is Alcoholics Anonymous. And at some point, alcoholism, I don't know all the 12-step programs, but I'm always struck by the first two or three. And the first one is, you have to stand up and say, I'm an alcoholic. I recognize now I have a problem. I didn't want to admit it, but I got a problem. And then the very next one is, I need help. I can't do this alone. And whether it's a community or a coach, I have to recognize this. I got a problem and it ain't going away and I don't like it anymore and I need help. That's why I'm here. And I think that's the recognition people have to come to with their health or their relationships or anything. At some point, you need help. You can't do it all alone.
Yes, yes. And that's where health coaches will bridge this gap, right? We're informed, but now what's the next step? The next step is maybe to get yourself a health coach to coach you and to give you a blueprint to behavioral changes.
And the support. You know what we should do is we should create a new organization, because there's Narcotics Anonymous, there's Alcoholics Anonymous. There should be a Health Anonymous. Health Anonymous. I stand up. Yes, I'm an unhealthy person. Yes, I admit it. I need help. Please hold me accountable. Help me. I'm going to come to this meeting every month. I'm going to recount all the unhealthy things I do, and we're going to go, oh, Paul, we've been there. Oh, buddy, I know exactly what you're talking about. And when I'm ready to eat the Twinkie, there's somebody I can call up and say, I'm ready to eat a Twinkie. I can't stop. Calm down. I'll be there. I'll hold your hand. You know, maybe it's that silly, but maybe it's that simple. We need not just a info and a guide. We need a group to hold us accountable.
Yeah. Melinda, are you open to just having conversations with folks who are interested in what you do?
Yes.
How do they reach you? Is there a website, an email, a number? How do they reach you to have that initial conversation with them?
Website is embracelife.coach.
Huh. Embracelife.coach.
I didn't know there was a .coach extension to websites here.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
And right now, if you put it in the actual search engine in the URL, it should bring you right to my website. If you do a Google search, there's a little glitch right now with the site.
So. And are you my coach for life, or am I coach for a while, or is there a hurdle I want to get over and then I go take a break, or is this, how do you view the relationship? Is this a forever relationship or a once in a while relationship?
I don't think it's a forever relationship, because if it is, I've not done my job.
See, I like that.
Right. So this initial consultation with folks, you don't charge them. It's just an initial chat with them.
Correct. Now, I do specialize with women who are in some type of life transition, perhaps, and just are looking for more energy and vitality, or just have health concerns. So that's my specialty, but I'm happy to speak with anybody and at this point and try to direct them and get them the help that they're looking for.
And I think you've identified a large group. It's my wife. It's my age. There are women in transition. Certainly menopause is a big part of it, but retirement plays into it. Your kids grow up and you don't need you, you know, empty nest syndrome. On a, your body changes and you don't feel the same or look that, you know, most men are like, okay, so I'm fat. Who cares? And women are like, oh my God, I'm 2 pounds over. You know, there's a different, because of the different value we place on image among men and women. All of these things add to a crisis that happens for many women at some point in time. So I applaud you for that.
Thank you. Yeah. And some of that's out of my own journey. I mean, you know, I've had some challenges with my mental health. And so I've learned a lot. And so I, you know, that I believe is also why I can help other women.
I love it. I love it. It's, you have a great niche. And women need to know that health coaches exist. So they're not traveling in their health journey alone.
Yes.
And to have a coach, a guide, supporter, and someone to keep accountable with health.
Yes. So I want to leave you all with some humor because, you know, laughter is really great medicine.
Right.
And so I'm learning to take myself a little less seriously. So I hope this makes you laugh.
Okay. All right. Health coach with red nose, Nurse Belinda. I love it. Yes. Paul, are you muted? I don't hear you.
I got to wrap it up, guys, because I got another right. show here bounding at the door. Thank you so much, Nurse Belinda.
Thank you so much, Melinda.
Take care, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, there you have it, folks. Another great example of why you got to tune in each and every week to Health Talks right here in Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio.net.